From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Airbnb has faced lawsuits and other allegations of racial bias in its home-sharing platform. A Harvard Business School study in 2016 found that people with African-American-sounding names were 16% less likely to be accepted as Airbnb guests. The NAACP is partnering with Airbnb to prevent user discrimination and beyond that, to promote the service as an economic opportunity in communities of color here in Atlanta. GBB's Ross Terrell has been following the partnership. He's going to be posting the story later today, but is joining us with a preview. Welcome, Ross.
Hey, good morning.
So the NAACP is among organizations that have been critical of racism in Airbnb's sharing community. So what are some of those accusations?
Yeah, well, you have a few incidents. You have Black guests who were checking out of Airbnbs where police were called on them because, you know, people thought they didn't belong there. You also have instances where Airbnb had a housing policy where they could request a photo from you. And depending on how you looked, the host was able to cancel your reservation. And then there are other issues within the organization. When you talk about diversity of the workforce, engineers, suppliers, people who help the company, the NAACP says we need more representation in that area as well when it comes to weeding out some of these issues online.
So Airbnb has fined hosts who've canceled reservations based on race, and last year said it would no longer allow hosts to request guest photos before booking. What does this partnership aim to do to prevent bias?
Yeah, well, this partnership, one, it looks to increase diversity. Going out in communities, changing the narrative about Airbnb, and talking with some people from the NAACP, they say there's still a kind of misconception about what the service is and changing people's minds to allowing a stranger to kind of stay in your house. And then also working hand in hand with the company. One of the representatives from the NAACP, Marvin Owen, said, "We wouldn't be at the table if we didn't think this was real or relevant." So it's having a conversation, it's changing narratives, changing minds, and that's where they start.
Here is Marvin Owen speaking with you about the issue.
If you don't have access to affordable home ownership, then that destroys the opportunity to create wealth. So if you really want to create economic opportunity, you have to connect the dots with larger housing issues.
What is he talking about there, Russ?
Right. Well, as we know, there is an affordable housing problem here in Atlanta. And the Black home ownership rate in 2017 for African Americans was just below 45%. That's down 10% compared to a decade ago. But for whites, the homeownership rate was around 80%. So when you have new developments like the Beltline and Mercedes-Benz Stadium and that kind of tends to push people out, it's, well, how can I be a host if I can't afford to live in my neighborhood? And especially where a lot of African American population is on the west side, it's, we can't afford to stay here. We're being pushed out. So we can't even talk about hosting and having residents and making money because I can't afford to stay.
Are most Airbnb hosts homeowners? I mean, you have to have a spare room, clearly.
Right. So Airbnb doesn't track data on its hosts, but it is easier to be a host if you do own. If you rent, that then comes down to you and your landlord.
Right. That's, some landlords might say you can't.
Exactly. Some may say, sure, you have an extra room, go for it. But then you also have to wonder about what the city requires. And if you have a home ownership, do you have to get a business license, a hotel license? Are you now paying extra taxes? Is it worth it? So there are a lot of barriers that the NAACP and Airbnb hope to educate the African American community about, but show them how to get into this market.
Okay. So for residents, it could mean making a little extra money. What's in it for Airbnb? Be?
Well, one, you expand the number of hosts on the site. Right now, we know in certain cities where African-American participation has increased, so has renting in those cities. That's increased. But then it's a matter of when you look at home sharing in Black communities, and we talk about the history of that and the idea that sometime that was the only place for Black people to stay. So now when you change this narrative and discussion about it, more people are willing to not only host, but you'll be more likely to then rent if you were visiting another city.
Now, we did talk on our show, and others have spoken about the Green Book Guide. This is that African Americans used to find safe places to stay and eat while traveling in the Jim Crow era. Here's Janae Ingram from Airbnb. She seems to call upon that history.
I think, again, it's important for the narrative of home sharing for us as a community, the Black community, to be reminded that we have had home sharing in our community for hundreds of years, and it's a fabric of who we are, and that there is a space and place for us on Airbnb.
Ross, can you expand on that? I mean, how does this partnership touch on that history?
Well, you have to look at who's coming to the table. I mean, you talk about the NAACP, especially being here in Atlanta with the civil rights history. I've talked to a host, and she says, what better organization to have? And when you look at the NAACP being there through many legal issues, just the history and the clout that they have within the African-American community, that carries a little more weight than if you had a relatively new organization saying, hey, we should get involved. If the NAACP comes to the table and says, look, there's economic opportunity here. We got your back. In case anything happens, we're willing to go to bat for you. That really matters and carries some weight within these communities of color to get them involved in the service.
Well, and also for them to be pairing with a Silicon Valley organization, this old organization and this new organization.
Right. It's kind of like a clash of future and present, but dealing with the same issue, so to speak. And for the NAACP, one of their game changers, they have six of them. One of them was economic opportunity. And in speaking with their officials, they say, what better way is there than to leverage your home, which you own, to use more, to earn more money, which then can be an economic cushion should you fall upon hard times or for whatever reason. But now you're using something that you already own and you're benefiting from it.
Now, what kind of income are we talking about for a homeowner?
Well, according to Airbnb, if you just rent out a private room for two guests in your house, you're looking at about $850 a month.
Hmm.
If you have an entire space to rent out, so let's say you have an in-law suite or you own a rental property, something that degree, you're looking at about $2,000 a month just from renting that out. And that doesn't include the Super Bowl was just here, as we know. That weekend, charges went up.
Mad money.
People, I mean, made out very well. I talked to some hosts who say on the west side who were minutes away from the airport in downtown, and they said, we did very well. So there's opportunity there.
So how about, what are you hearing from neighborhood organizations? Those who, you know, are their residents on board with the goals of this partnership?
So I talked to a neighborhood organization over in West Park, and one of their board members is actually discussing this idea of doing it with her family. She has an in-law suite, which makes it a little unique and gives her a better chance to do it. But there is this hesitancy, this concern of, okay, so if property on the west side is cheaper, what's to stop real estate or stop developers from coming in, acquiring this, and then just renting it out for Airbnb?
Uh-huh.
And then does that not just turn us into a hotel district, and does that not price us out even more? And CJ Jackson, I talked to her, and she said there are some residents who rather see properties stay vacant then turn into rental property because it stokes fears of gentrification. Although there could be benefit there if I'm one of 10 on a block with an Airbnb, the resident or the guest has a chance to drive up, and if my neighborhood isn't up to par, they can leave.
Mm-hmm.
So now the city has to pay more attention. If I'm like, hey, I need zoning here. I need you to pick up maintenance on this side. Don't forget about this community.
We're speaking with GPB's Ross Terrell, who's been reporting on a new partnership between the NAACP and Airbnb. Yeah, well, let's get to that. I mean, cities work hard to beautify tourist districts, right? Planting flowers and keeping them clean, frequently patrolled by police. So if there's growth in Airbnb rentals in a neighborhood, could that give decision makers an incentive to care more about their upkeep?
I've heard two sides of this. I've heard from a host that now that I'm renting, it's up to me to kind of keep my street, my block up to standards. I've also heard that that's not where it should start, that it starts with voting. And when we talk about the West Side, we're talking about District 3, which is going through a special election. And some people in the neighborhood side are saying turnout for that was low. If you care about how your community looks, put people in office who are going to year-round, not just because you have a rental, not just because it's a big game coming, but who care about that community, put them in the office, show up and vote. And so you look at, you know, each side of it. If you're a host, you think, absolutely. You know, I've got people here. This is my business. I have a business license. It benefits the city when you talk about taxes. But then you have people who say, why does it require a rental property to get the city's attention and to get a city council member to actually help you out?
Yeah, so the market's driving here. Is Airbnb trying to partner with other cities, or is it just Atlanta?
Yeah, so they are. Atlanta is one of the first city of this year, one of the first in the Southeast, and one of the first overall. So currently they're in Miami, and that was pushed by the Florida NAACP chapter, and they kind of have the same reasoning. Also, as you mentioned, Airbnb is a Silicon Valley business, so they are out in the Bay Area. But there are also plans to move into Chicago, Dallas, New Orleans. So this is kind of a jumping off effort here in Atlanta, which, as we mentioned, it's not lost upon anyone, the civil rights history here. So how well this program does here could be a determinant for other cities and whether or not they would even want to get involved.
GPB's Ross Terrell, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Ross has been reporting on a new partnership between the NAACP and Airbnb, and you can read his story. It's going to be posted today at gpbnews.org. Savannah is known for its live oak trees dripping with Spanish moss. They are part of the city's history and its future. GPB's Cindy Hill takes us inside the Urban Tree Nursery Project, which is training apprentice arborists to grow and care for the city's famed tree canopy.
For see a tree or a plant to grow, the roots are everything. The heart, the mind, everything. Like, that's the whole body, is roots.
Come up with a design and we'll get the plants and you guys can put it together.
All right, sounds like a plan.
I'm Robert Hartwell. I'm 24 years old, and I got involved in this through the Chatham Apprentice Program, CAP program of Savannah. And they teach you how to get a job and be an employer and dress for success. And that's how I met Mr. Nick in the Green Ministry Project. They was talking about, landscaping and stuff like that.
You see those, right? So we've got more of those grasses popping up everywhere, but we're talking about this whole area. It's really hard to plant on.
Yeah, because of the
with the trees, that's why we skipped this whole area, all the roots. But what we could do is get some smaller flowering plants and a few shrubs and things and make a nice little landscaped area out of this. Save some of the flowers. So Nick Defley, I'm the director of sustainability at the city of Savannah, and we're standing on vacant city-owned properties that really needed a lot of love.
It looked like an empty lot that's had probably every former person and animal tracked through it at some point. It's had trash coming from the neighboring gas station littered all over the place. There were vines and weeds and fences riddled with holes and metal laying around. Hello, I'm Jason Smith. Now we have a bunch of trees surrounding us. Beautiful shrubbery. We got some sproutings going on. The grass is green. The sun is shining. It looks awesome right now.
We've got, I think, 10 different species of native trees. Some of them are also saltwater tolerant.
Trees gotta have life too. So we gave them a little drip tube right here. So all you do is cut the water system on and it frequently gives them a drip.
I think that the people is really the most important part of this project. You know, the trees are like kind of like the soil, and then the people are the plants coming out the soil, you know. As we're the ones that are really growing, the neighborhood is just taking this as a step forward. It's just a path.
Figure out a layout here, watch the fire ants. But bring those kids, too, to start teaching them, because they're younger, right?
Yeah, they're super young.
And just let them...
I can't help but see the trees now, like... And at night, when the lights are on, and you're walking under them, it's like, wow, you know. God is good, and the people really can make a change. That's what this means. Like, we could be the change in the world just by planting a seed, you know?
For GPB News, I'm Cindy Hill in Savannah.
Stay with us. There's more on Second Thought coming up after a short break. ¶¶